The Psychonauts Mirror, written and produced by Herd Hippie. No, I'm just kidding. But yes, it is. I mean, everything's done by me. So, I mean, I guess, so to speak, whatever. Anyways, hey guys, how are you? Thank you so much for coming back to another episode of the Psychonauts Mirror. I love you guys so much. I'm so grateful for you to be here. And yeah, let's jump right in and get into what's been going on lately. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for joining me for this episode. Quick little rundown of kind of what's going on. This episode was very meaningful to me. I got to sit with one of the most influential women in this timeline for me, Miss Tiffany. Now, she has done so much for me. When I went to Two Pillars Foundation ceremony, I was struggling really hard with busting a few chakras wide open. They were cracked a little bit, but it was more on the lines of a lot of work being done surface level. When I got to Tiffany's ceremony, it was not letting me sit, not letting me not talk these things out, not allowing the beauty to completely take over anything that wasn't beautiful, to let me work on it, let me process, let me, you know, get through these things. And just in that time of healing, I found something within me. And Tiffany, I'm so fucking grateful for you. Thank you so much. Now, this episode was a big learning experience for me. It was a learning experience in the sense of trusting my higher self, trusting my intuition, knowing that something needed to be done and didn't do it. Because caught up in the moment, excitement, not paying attention, just overwhelmed and over, like, so much joy within, because I was finally getting to sit with someone that I had been, like, bugging forever to try to be on the podcast. But when you have people that are super busy with their lives, and their paths and the things they are doing in this lifetime, which is fucking beautiful. It's just like, oh my God, you know, finally, you know, I get to do this, get to hang out and, you know, spread some really good news. And then I do something like not paying attention to little minor things, like little minor things turn into big problematic things. So, needless to say, I hope you guys can enjoy the episode as much as I enjoyed making it. There are some bits of sound that are a little messed up, and that is due to the wind. The wind kind of makes it a little hard to hear at some points. I really hope that you can get through this episode, because it is one of the most beautiful episodes that I have had the opportunity to work on. I had to sit with this episode for a while and really think on it, because a lot of things were happening, intertwining, and then I just, you know, I sat and cried one day for a whole day because the wind, and I don't have equipment to try to, like, backtrack and take sounds out. I just use my phone right now. So with that being said, there's a little hard parts in this. And I hope that you can sit through this beautiful, beautiful podcast and hear all the great information. I do want to send a shout out to Tiffany and say thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to really enjoy, you know, just some really good talks on plant medicine, on your journey, on the journey through this timeline. You know, I'm grateful. Thank you, Tiffany. Thank you, Tiffany. Thank you so very much. If you guys need any information, you can check out their websites. They have Facebook platform, social media platforms, and there is a huge event coming up. So tune in to the podcast. Write down any information you need to know. Always know you can go to my social media platforms to find them. My social media platforms would be Hood Hippie on Facebook and Holly Smalls on Instagram. So if you need to find them at all, you can look up me. They're connected to my platforms. If not, she definitely does go through here and let you know her social media platforms, the foundation website. So thank you guys for tuning in. It's time to get locked and loaded. Mwah! Bye, guys. Enjoy the show. Okay, Tiffany, thank you so much for being here with me. If you want to go ahead and introduce yourself and what you do and who you are, hair flip.
Yeah, right. So thank you so much for doing this with me. I love you so much, and I'm so honored that you asked me to be a part of your podcast.
Thank you.
So my name is Tiffany Stewart, and first and foremost, you know, I am here as a creature on this planet trying to get along just like anybody else, and I've done a lot of healing work, a lot of journeys with self-discovery and spirituality, and most recently doing that with entheogens over the last 3 years, and through that exploration have had profound transformations. Mm-hmm. Finding my joy, finding my passion, finding my purpose when I had none at all, completely cut off from the sunlight of the spirit. And plant medicines and entheogens have been such a big tool with that. And then that has organically evolved into helping others do the same thing using entheogens through our Two Pillars Foundation Church, which I'm a co-founder of.
That's so great. Yeah, I love Two Pillars. I'm a fangirl because it has helped me along my spiritual journey of self-discovery too. So coming up in June, you have the Entheogen and Spirituality Conference. Mm-hmm. And when is that?
That is June 19th.
And you can purchase tickets for that, correct?
Yeah, you can purchase them online through Eventbrite. And the easiest way to find that is if you search for the Entheogen and Spirituality Conference on Facebook. That'll take you to our Facebook page, and you can find the link there to buy the tickets.
Sweet. So you guys should check that out. So what is it actually all about, all-encompassing? Just give me just a... with the full disclosure of what it is about for you.
The conference?
Yes, the conference.
Yeah, so, you know, I think that there's so much interest out there in using entheogens for transformational purposes, for healing purposes. You know, it's kind of becoming a little bit mainstream hearing about using psilocybin or MDMA or, you know, other entheogens for the purposes of healing for depression, for anxiety, whatever that might be. And so people get really excited about the potential of using those to help heal themselves. But I think the tricky part is, and something that we had just touched on, is that, you know, entheogens for me aren't to be used like another pharmaceutical. Mm-hmm. It's not about taking a pill and it's gonna fix you, but I think so many people think that it will.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of how it's shaped when you hear about it in the media. It's like, ooh, take this and you don't have to take antidepressants anymore. Well, hold on, back it up a little bit. Let's yeah. talk about how you really use the entheogens, which we also call medicines or plant medicines or frog medicines, whatever it might be. There's a process, and I talk to so many people through my Two Pillars work all the time to help them try to determine for themselves if they even want to use plant medicines. And it's just, there's just big misconceptions out there about how you might use them. So for me, more than anything, this is about education, education, education. I laugh every time I talk to somebody. They're like, well, I Googled such and such, so I know what to expect. Or I watch these YouTube videos, and I'm just like, you don't know jack squat if you haven't experienced it for yourself.
Right.
And, you know, short of experiencing it for yourself, I want to be able to give people kind of real, more hands-on education, have an opportunity to come hear us talk about these entheogens, ask questions, come to this community and start to hear other people talk about their plant medicine experiences. For me, this is all about helping to give people information for whether or not, for them to make a decision whether or not they want to use plant medicines or entheogens themselves for the purpose of transformation and healing. That's like the, for me, that's the bottom line.
Yeah. I think it's great to offer any form of healing, whatever works for someone, offer it.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
What are some of the ways that, do you have meetings and stuff set up outside of Two Pillars where like through Meetup or anything that people can contact for maybe if you have integrations that you host or Zooms that you host, anything like that? Are there ways for people to get in touch with you that want to choose this route of healing or this kind of journey?
Yeah, great, great question. So first and foremost, we are always open to talking to anybody at any time to answer their questions if they just want to talk about it. And oftentimes we just do that. People just want to get on the phone and ask questions. Yeah. You know, another a big issue is that this is a, it's a very vulnerable space to be in. You know, people don't know you from Adam, and here you are trying to assist them on a particular path that can be extraordinarily vulnerable. So not only, you know, is it getting more comfortable with using the entheogens, it's also getting comfortable with the people that are going to help you utilize them for mm-hmm. your transformation and healing. So yes, so for with Two Pillars in particular, what we do is most of the time we're just talking to people, and whether that's talking to people about our services, whether it's talking to people through integration meetings. Yes, we have we host online integration meetings. We also host a monthly in-person integration meeting plus a cacao ceremony. Mm-hmm. And you know, those are the primary ways that we're kind of getting out there for people to talk to us. But more than anything, it's just like email us, you know, Facebook message us. We want to talk to you.
Yeah.
We're here to be of service to you and help you figure out for yourself. Like, if you want to use the medicines, I'm not particularly vested one way or the other if you do. I mean, to me, it doesn't matter one way or the other. What matters to me is that if you decide that you want to do it, that you're going into that decision with informed
mm-hmm.
and set up to have a safe experience with trusted people that you're doing it with.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a big thing is when you're that, you are very vulnerable in a certain state of mind. So what I did was I spent time with One Spirit before and getting to know them, and through them, I got to know you, mm-hmm. and so it was like I built up y'all were a very safe space for me to really explore myself and my healing, so I would definitely suggest you guys for some healing. How did the conference even come about? Why did this happen? What inspired you to do the conference?
You know, it was really our sister church, One Spirit, that really was putting it out there.
Mm-hmm.
For the same reasons, that the lack of education that people have, and wanting to be able to give people the information that we just feel like is lacking. That in combination with rebranding psychedelics.
Yeah.
So, you know, if people aren't aware, an entheogen is a consciousness altering substance that's used specifically for the purpose of transformation, spiritual connection, religious purposes.
Yeah.
So I think that there's a common misperception out there when you're using psychedelics, that you're using it just to, you know, go out and have a good old blast out unicorn and rainbow time. Mm-hmm. And that's not what this is about at all. If you attend one of our two pillar ceremonies, you will know that it is not about having a unicorn
yeah, right.
and rainbow experience. It's about deep transformational healing.
Yeah.
So one, that was a big thing, trying to get a kind of rebrand, redefine using these medicines, what that's about. Mm-hmm. And when you're really using it for those healing purposes, we're calling that an entheogen.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a big driver. And then the other huge driver for doing this was really to marry entheogens and spirituality.
Yeah.
Because for two pillars, and I know for One Spirit and our other sisters and sister churches that we work with, they're intertwined. They're not separate. Like for us, the entheogen is a tool to connect with your spirituality. It's mm. it's like one and the same.
It's like weaving.
It is. I'm doing this little weaving.
Yeah, you're
right
weaving
now.
It right now for me.
So that was a big thing too. So another big part of the conference is it's not just going to be about talking about ayahuasca, psilocybe, bufo, you know, all these, entheogens itself, but also introducing other concepts about how you can really get to a place of where you're more spiritually connected. And that's also going to be about using other healing modalities. So we're going to be doing things like sound healing with, the participants that are going to be at the conference, as well as breath work exercise.
Yeah.
And then some other things too, demonstrations with Kambo or Sapo, which is a frog medicine that's not necessarily, I guess it could be mind altering, but it's not, I don't think it's per se considered a straight up entheogen. It's more of a detoxification
mm-hmm.
medicine, as well as rape or hape, also known as hape.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. So we want to also introduce other things, other ways to get to spirituality as well. It's like I said, it's all just kind of the same. And it's all intertwined.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to marry the two. They're the same for us. We're using entheogens to get to that spiritual connection. And for me personally, unless I'm doing that, I'm not using them. There's no reason to.
Yeah. It's so wild to hear you talk about this, because I just finished a book, The Immortality Key.
Mm.
And the research this man does is literally like the things that you guys are doing now. These researches from back in the Greek times, back in the time of Jesus. It's just the same. It's the holy sacraments, these mm-hmm. these concoctions to help people experience God
mm-hmm.
energy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's for me, it just shows like when you're in medicine and you connect with your ancestors, like I feel like you connect so much, and you're so like you got a lot of that. All of you women that are doing this, because that's one of the things too, is like it was like these women that were the brewers, the makers mm-hmm. of the medicine, and they had people protecting it.
Yeah.
It's so cool to yeah. see, to read that book and see all this stuff that he's done and all the research in the Vatican that he did, and then what y'all are doing now to help humanity along the way. It's really nice to witness it in my lifetime right now.
Yeah, and the biggest gift that I have thus far received from it is that, I was on this seeking path myself. So I'm going to just mention a little bit about my background and how I got involved with it myself.
I would love to know kind of what really, brought you into plant medicine in general.
Yeah, for sure. So, I've had some traumas in my life, and I'm not going to go into too much detail about that, but I sure have.
Yeah.
And like so many of us, and what I what I did with that was completely deny that those were traumas. Like it didn't register in my consciousness as such. But I'll tell you, our mind-body-spirit complex sure knows that we've had traumas.
Yeah.
It stays stuck in us. And so, you know, I unfortunately repeated that patterning as well. Mm-hmm. And caused damage myself in my adult life and right. for other folks. And so it's pretty darn miserable, quite frankly. But I was doing all the things everybody was telling me to do. I was going out and getting the corporate job and making lots of money and, you know, whatever, having the house, you know, doing all these things that I thought.
Program.
Yeah. What I should be doing to be happy. And it was the farthest from that. And I had no idea why.
Yeah.
I had absolutely no idea why. I knew that maybe things were sometimes challenging in life in the past and some things that happened, but that only made me stronger. That only made me more independent.
Mm.
It only made me a survivor, whatever bullshit I told myself. And I believed it fully.
Totally resonate with that.
100% believed it. And then continued to be miserable. And had my own alcoholism and drug addiction. That I worked through about 12 years ago, and that was kind of my first step into starting to let a community help me, and that was a big thing. That's a big thing that I've learned through this whole journey: community, building community, and allowing others to help you and assist you through your healing process.
Mm-hmm.
But got into 12-step recovery work, and also got my first taste of spirituality, first concept of that. So I was planting the seeds of like nothingness. I was like nothing. I was blank. I was empty. I'd wake up every morning and I'd be like, why am I waking up? Like, I'm literally waking up to eat, go to work, probably entertain myself somehow, and then go to sleep. And I'm so bored. I'm so bored and I'm so miserable. I don't know. I connect with nothing.
Mm.
I could connect literally with nothing. No people, no places, no things, no animals, no concepts, no belief, like blank. So anyway, I'll fast forward. So I got clean and sober about 12 years ago or so. And then I really started my seeking. I was like, okay, I'm gonna be a seeker now. I'm gonna be a seeker outside of myself for happiness. Like, oh, I want happiness now, but I need to go find it. Mm-hmm. And I think it's attached to spirituality, and I don't have spirituality yet. I don't have my concept of it yet. So I'm gonna go out and try to seek and find spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't work either,
because right.
There's nothing outside of ourselves. It's a complete inside job until we're willing to go inside and look at the things that block us from our own connection to spirit, to universe, to God, whatever you call it, until we're willing to remove those blocks, we don't have that spiritual connection. At least that's my experience. That's my experience and the experience that I see happening for other people.
Yeah.
So so I was going through life being miserable and seeking, and you know, what happened for me was the universe put me on a path that I was not willing to go on myself. It was time to change and shift. So I had, I was married at the time, and I got a phone call that said, hey, I'm leaving. And we also owned a business together. And so in one phone call, I was divorced and out of a job, and I was devastated. But I would tell you, it is the best thing that has ever happened to me. The best thing that has ever happened to me, because I would not get on that path myself. And I saw it coming, resisted, and the universe
said, all right,
threw me on it.
There you go.
Yeah. So I got miserable enough to go, okay, it's time. It is time. That's when I started using plant medicine. I started using, this is over 3 years ago. And I started using ayahuasca very intensively for about a year. And this is all reflective back, right? This is all kind of looking back and seeing this progression that happened for me. That first year, I was so shut down. I was so shut down from my feelings and my emotions that what ayahuasca did for me, it started breaking me open. I had protective shielding on me that I had built up since I was a kid.
Mm.
And it was actually, it was a also a physical manifestation of fat. I mean, fat layers. Over the course of a couple years, I lost about 70 pounds
mm-hmm.
without really even trying that hard through using plant medicine. Now I make changes to my diet and habits and exercise and things like that.
But that all happened with
plant medicine. It all happened with plant medicine.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I wanted to make those changes. It's time to make those changes. Easy to make those changes. Once I was ready to let go of the protective shielding
mm-hmm.
that had built up, it was no longer needed, and I had to get it off of me to start feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So I spent about a year doing that with ayahuasca, and then I got introduced to psilocybin mushrooms, and I had never used mushrooms before, and I was blown away by the profoundness of the transformation I was finding with that medicine. And it was a bit more accessible than ayahuasca, so I started to use that very intensely, very, very, very intensely.
Mm-hmm.
And what I started really to be shown is that all these things that I didn't think affected me in my life,
mm-hmm.
sure shit did, man.
Don't they always? They're the ones that are like, hey.
Yep.
Hey.
Yep.
Hey.
So I had to start looking at myself. I had to start. I was so willing. I really was, and I still am today. It's hard work. It's mm-hmm. not easy. Even for me, I don't like to go. It's not fun going in and doing this work in medicine, but it's so rewarding. So that's what I did for another couple years, and continue to do it quite frankly. But what I've seen happen is that I had to get to a point where. I mentioned that I believe that we have a mind-body-spirit complex in our traumas, our old behavior and patterning, our limiting self-beliefs, like all these things get stuck in us. And until we release them, we can't get connected to our true selves, our higher selves, to spirit. So I spent what I feel like that first year in ayahuasca healing from traumas.
Mm-hmm.
Then what I saw happen was, okay, those traumas created limiting false beliefs within myself. So the things that I tell myself, I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough, I need to make so much money to have safety, to have security, I can't do this, I should be doing that. All these like huge self-criticisms, like all these things, these stories that I tell myself, that was the next thing to start to heal. Because so it's kind of like the traumas created the fear, the kind of this fear layer and these limiting self-beliefs. So it was then time to start to heal those.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the next thing that the medicine started to show me, how I talk to myself, how I treat myself. Gosh, the biggest lesson that I'm seeing right now, and I freaking hate it, is that if I have judgments and criticism of other people, man, throws right back at me. It's very clear. Any judgment, any criticism that I have about someone else, I have that same judgment and criticism about myself.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime I go into medicine now and I'm bent out of shape about this, that, or whatever out in the world or with other people or whatever it is,
yeah,
medicine always points the finger back at me. I mean, they literally put up a mirror and say, okay, what quality then do you see in yourself that's the same that you don't like? You work on that, and guess what? All this stuff out here that you don't like just melts away, because we have to do our own internal healing.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest gift that I've seen, is that it's all within me.
Yeah.
My spirituality, my connection, my healing. It's like I wanted to believe there were so many things I couldn't control or... like I'm a victim of my circumstance.
Oh yeah.
Things are never going to change. Nothing's ever going to be different. Well, guess what? When you're willing to do the work, when you're willing to look at those parts of you that you do not like and mm-hmm. have forever resisted, suppressed, denied, when you really get willing to look at those things and examine those things and change those stories, that's when the magic happens. And there's nothing outside of us that we find. The gift of entheogens is that we find ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the beauty. That's the magic. We get to love ourselves
mm-hmm.
for who we are and what we are and what we do. That's the big secret.
Yeah, that really is. Like when I see my family for the first time in a year on Easter, and my aunt was like, "Will you tell me your secret to how you lost all your weight?" Because I too had packed on a protective shield mm-hmm. over time, and it was the comfort of food, the comfort of alcohol, and all this stuff. But my response to her was, I took responsibility for myself.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened, and that's it. Like, the second you take responsibility for yourself and all that, then it all just starts to fall in place, and things will happen for you, and you'll be able to understand things a little easier, it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
Process Absolutely. Things a little easier.
Absolutely. Yeah, it gives you a new lens to look at life through.
Except for that distorted, you know, program one that you had, your filter.
Exactly.
That you, yeah.
Exactly.
Talk about breaking that right there. That's the one thing that I had to work on, was breaking, seeing through my hurt.
Yeah.
Because that was one thing that was like, it was focused in on seeing through the hurt, you know? Mm-hmm. And then once you can get past that, it's seeing life.
Yeah.
Reality and what you're creating your reality.
Yeah. One of the biggest things that's helped me with that is to kind of get out of that that intense focus on what's wrong or who did this to me or that to me or whatever story I wanted to tell myself. The biggest thing that helped me with that was like accepting responsibility for my own soul's path. Like, we're so, not to get too spiritual and woo-woo out there, but we're more
I love woo-woo. Keep it going.
You know, I fully believe that I stepped into this lifetime agreeing to have a certain set of experiences. Shitty, good, bad, indifferent, whatever I want to label it,
mm-hmm.
I signed up for it. I signed up for it to have a certain soul experience for growth.
Yeah.
To have that experience to grow, and then to take that learning, that experience back to the big collective, the big consciousness, and we all get to grow from that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like when I can look at the crappy things that I think I'm perceiving are happening in my life and go, okay, I signed up for that.
Yeah.
You know, what's the lesson in it? Where's my growth opportunity? And that's the biggest thing. Like, if I can walk towards my fear instead of running away from it, like, there's so much beauty in that. There's
yeah.
so much empowerment in that. Like, it's not running away from the things that we don't want to look at or see or, you know. One of the big things that I've worked on over the last few years is stepping outside of the kind of the job idealism that I have to have a corporate job or go work for somebody else to have safety and security with income, which is all joke. There's no safety and security through income or really anything. It's all like, it's all an illusion, right?
Right.
That's my ego trying to hold on to something to think I have control. But really, it's my biggest lesson. There's been so many, but a big one has been stepping into my own empowerment and following my heart, like for income, like doing what is in my heart, waking up every day in whatever joy is filling my heart, I go and do that, and then there's an energetic exchange that happens with that. It's
yeah.
like the universe wants me to be happy and fulfilled and be of service to other people. Like, that's like my role here on this, in this lifetime, is to be of service
yeah.
in a big way to other people. Well, guess what? I can't do that and go work a 40-hour job, not being of service in a particular way. It's like it takes so much time and energy and focus. It's like I got to be on this path over here, being of service and in my heart, and not on this path. So trusting that.
Yeah.
Trusting that the universe is taking care of me. It's like it happens every single day. And I think it's not, but it is. It's like every single time, every single day, I'm taken care of with everything. I see it happen. I see it unfold, but then I still want to doubt it.
Yeah.
I still don't want to trust it. So that's been a big, huge lesson for me. And I want to be a demonstration for other people too. I can't tell you how many times I talk to people that are just miserable in their lives. And so much of it is around their job. They think they have to do a certain thing.
Yeah.
With their work because they need the ink. So they tell themselves this story. And then that story becomes the reality because they believe that I have to do my crappy ass job that I hate so I can put food on the plate and feed my kids or have a roof or whatever. Mm-hmm. And if you believe that day in and day out, well, that's your truth. That's your reality. Like, start believing something else. Start believing that you can have a job that fills your heart.
Yeah, change your mind, magnetize it in.
Exactly. It's actually all out there. It's all there already. Just have to allow it to come in. But when we have these beliefs, these stuck beliefs that tell us something different, we completely block that abundance. We completely block that heart fulfillment by our thinking.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. How has your experience been with doing ceremony? How positive and negative?
My God, I don't even know. Wow. So is this for me personally?
Yeah, for you personally. Okay.
All right. So, man. Gosh, Holly, I don't even know where to go with that. Do we have another 5 hours?
We got all the time in the world. How long you got?
I've got infinity. So... it's not like until you do it for yourself, it's not ever what you think it's going to be.
Right.
So, you know, it's hard going into ceremony without expectation,
mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
So, you know, even for me today when I go in with, okay, I know I need to work on this or that. And so I have a certain expectation that, you know, I'm going to be healed at the, you know, end of 4 or 5 hours or whatever. And it doesn't ever work that way. But what, you know, my biggest commonalities with ceremonies is that surrender is the biggest thing. Like, coming in with an intention, mm-hmm. a strong intention without expectation, and then the willingness and ability to surrender, to allow the medicine to show you whatever it needs to show you. And I'm going to tell you that's true for... if you're going into a deep dive macrodose or you're doing a microdose,
mm-hmm.
Thinking your day is going to be peachy keen and all flowers and roses, but the medicine has something else to show you. So you know, that's kind of a ongoing lesson and probably the biggest kind of mindset tool I think you can have going into doing medicine is going in with a strong intention.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I hear people go into medicine with just like, oh, I just wanted to try it out and see what was going to happen. And then nothing really happened. Well, yeah, because that was your intention. Just for nothing really to happen.
You came in for no reason.
Yeah. And I want to be clear that it's kind of hard to differentiate sometimes between an intention and expectation.
Okay.
Like for me, my most common intention is like I'm so like using these entheogens, these medicines for transformation and healing. I know that I don't know jack diddly squat about anything. Mm-hmm. Like if I knew how to go heal myself, it would have been done.
Right.
So I need to allow the medicine to do that for me. So quite often I will go in with the intention for my own personal healing of very simply, help me experience, activate, have awareness, release anything that is my highest healing purpose and path. So it's like a strong intention, but it's so broad and so open that I allow the medicine
to work
in the experience to unfold the way that it needs to, versus going in thinking, oh gosh, I know that I still have my money fears to heal. Spirit's going to show me how I'm... they're going to shower me with dollar bills or something, and I'm going to fill my heart with all these dollar bills, and I'm going to feel healed at the end. It never happens. What happens is they go back and show me some shitty-ass experience that I had where I developed a belief that I'm not abundant.
Yeah.
That I don't have abundance. That I need to have these material things to feel safe and secure. They go back and they show me that, and I have to puke all that out of me, purge all that out of me. And that's my healing. So, you know, that's the beauty of the entheogens, is that nobody needs to know what they have to heal. In fact, I think sometimes it's better if you don't, because then you might not have a strong expectation going into the medicine.
Yeah.
But by golly, you need to have a strong intention and have a strong willingness to surrender and allow it to unfold however it's going to happen. You know, I work, so much with mushrooms, and I find that it's a very interesting teacher medicine, because, and I'll just use ayahuasca as a comparison. I think sometimes with ayahuasca, you know, you can take your head and just smush your face in whatever you need to look like, and like smoosh it around and like make you look at it.
Yeah.
With mushrooms, what I feel like happens more often is that the medicine will take you up to what you need to look at, and then it's your job to proactively continue walking towards it.
Yeah.
So you have more choice in the matter, which to me, the beauty of that is that if I can make that choice and do it, my healing is that much more profound.
Yes, I completely agree with that.
And that is why I love the mushroom medicine. Like, I love all kinds of medicines. Don't get me wrong. I think they have their place and their purpose.
Absolutely.
For me, like right now at least, mushroom medicine is my medicine. And the medicine that I love to work with other people, because, man, it's like a double whammy of healing that you get. Like, when you have to make that choice, that proactive choice to surrender and look at all that shit you don't want to look at.
Yeah.
Wow. It's so powerful. Mm-hmm. So powerful.
I completely agree with that. That's it's funny. I was literally thinking in my head, well, setting an intention might confuse some people into an expectation, and then you literally started saying that. I was like, okay, cool, thanks for that. That was nice. Or did you go into my brain just now and pull that out? Because you covered exactly what I was thinking in my head.
Yeah.
Because I think my first experience in ayahuasca, I went in with set intentions, but I had a super big expectation. And when it was like showing me what to look at, and I was like, oh, that's really sad. You know, that was one of those things where I was just like, oh, I just need to go take a shit now. Like, can you come get me? I need to poop. Just take me over here. I don't want to see what's going on over here. But yeah, so I think that's really good to know, like, surrender that intention, so it's not an expectation of what they could be or what it's going to be.
Yeah. The other thing that has maybe been a little bit surprising to me, but so helpful in healing in ceremonies, is that the healing that has happened for me, it doesn't necessarily need to be something that has like directly occurred to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance, I've had multiple, like in this lifetime, so like multiple times, I have had past lives come up where basically there's unresolved issue, trauma, healing that has needed to take place. Like I carried that with me. It's unresolved from that lifetime, and I've carried carried it with me in this lifetime.
Would that be something that was like coded into like your DNA structure or something?
Whatever that is. Sure. It's like I still hold it. So I talk about that mind-body-spirit complex.
Yeah.
It's still holding in my spirit. It's like, so I still need to work through it. So I have seen, so one example, one lighter example I'll give you, so I was, over the last few years, as I've tried to transition to doing my own work, my own business or businesses, I've had a really hard time stepping into my empowerment of that. I had always been very comfortable following somebody else's vision and following somebody else's lead.
Yeah.
Very, very, very comfortable. But when it came to my own kind of big picture, big vision thinking, I was like, no, I don't want to do it. But when you have your own business, yeah, you got to do it all, man.
Yeah.
It's all yours. I was having a really difficult time with that. And so I go into medicine asking, you know, gosh, how can I just be better at marketing? Or how can I... I kind of set like an expectation, like, oh, spirit's going to help me see how I can like be smarter at business or some shit like that. It was dumb. But what I was shown was a past life where I was a captain of a merchant ship, one of those big, huge wooden merchant ships back in the whatever. I don't know. 1500, 1600s, whenever that time was. And basically a scene unfolded, and this happened actually over several ceremonies, so it's like there were multiple layers of healing to happen with this, that basically it was a huge merchant ship and there were 300 crew members. I mean, it's enormous. And I had basically made a decision to take a shortcut to get to port instead of going the long way to make a deadline. And I knew it was risky, and we hit rock or whatever, and sure enough, the boat sank and everybody died. So what I carried with me to this lifetime, and I got goosebumps, what I carried with me to this lifetime is that when I am my own leader, people die.
Oh, fuck.
That's what I carried with me.
That's heavy.
So I wasn't going to be a leader for anybody. No, I'm not making those kind of decisions. Because you're probably going to die if you follow my lead.
Mm.
So, like, I had to get over that. I had to get through that.
Yeah.
And that evolved over several ceremonies of working through that story. So, like, that story that got ingrained in me at a cellular level, I had to work on rewriting that story. It's like, okay, no, nobody's gonna die. I'm not gonna die. No one's gonna die. It's like, it's the past. It's time to take back my power.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Release that.
Yeah.
That's really awesome. Yeah. Good for you.
Yeah, thank you.
Good for you. What inspired you to be involved with plant medicine to begin with? Like, what was it like? Just that underlining, like, nothing was working in life. You just turned away. And were you using plant medicine when you went silent?
No. So, like, me being, like, mute and not talking was, like way, 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 way before. That was part of my misery.
Oh, okay.
That was part of, like, I have nothing... Nothing's going on. I have nothing to share, so I'm silent. I have nothing good to share. So my, I think that just like the consciousness starts to get introduced to these ideas and concepts. So it's like I just started paying attention to things. I started hearing, just like anybody else that probably gets their start using entheogens. I hear other people talking about their lives changing and things transforming. And I hear it maybe in the news. Then I hear it, I do some of my own research. Somebody writes a book on it. So.
Yeah.
I just started to get intrigued by the idea.
Yeah.
Because nothing else was working. Like, I was stuck and I didn't know what else to do. Because I feel like I went through and did whatever whatever people were doing to try to help themselves. You know, I did years of therapy, years of talk therapy, years of self-help. Like, I did it, I did it, I did it, I did it, and nothing. And now I can see in retrospect why none of that was going to help, because I was so shielded. Like, yeah. I could not get in touch with anything to go into therapy and talk about.
Yeah.
A meaningful level.
Super, super surface level stuff. Yeah.
I think the trap that I got into, and then what I see other people get into, is that they can talk about things that have happened in the past that were traumatic, and they can talk about it without emotion, so they think they're healed from it. No, it just means you can talk about it without emotion, but have you really tapped into that emotion? Are you talking about it without emotion because you really have healed it, you've worked through it, and you can think about it in a non-judgmental way, or are you completely still shut down about it where you can't identify it as being something
as being painful?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a lot of people can do that, build that up for it to be shameful, almost as painful. Like, you find shame in it hurting. So it's like, meh.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean shit.
Yeah. And like, so with our two pillar services, we do intake calls with everybody to mm-hmm. really kind of assess where they're at and to see what services may be a fit or not. And, you know, we ask people, you know, personal questions. We want to understand, like, from their perspective, if they've had traumas. And I'll tell you, so many times people say, no, I haven't had any traumas. They put that on their intake form. But then when we talk, they start to list off some of these things. They're like very blank, like, oh, yeah, this happened, this happened, this happened. And they can't identify it as such.
As trauma. Oh, it's just stuff that happened.
Yeah. So I can just talk about it. And, well, it happened 40 years ago. Like, why would I need to look at that? Well, what's happening in your life today?
Like, that's reflecting back to that 40 years ago.
Yeah, why are you on this call with me?
Yeah.
Like, you gotta be willing to look at that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
that's a tough one to do. Can you describe what it's like to be in medicine for you? Like a pretty profound experience or something.
Oh man! Oh golly! There's so many. You know, I think there's maybe like two levels. Like there's might be my own personal plant medicine experience, like when I'm doing my own internal work for myself. And then there's probably like when I'm working with other people in groups. Mm-hmm. I think I've shared some about my personal stuff. So maybe I'll just talk a little bit about like when I'm facilitating.
Yeah.
This is also somewhat true when I'm doing my own personal work. You know, I feel like my biggest job is to be a clean and open vessel for spirit to work through me.
Yeah.
So, you know, people might ask regarding facilitation, and do I have, you know, shamanic training? You know, sat on the top of a mountain and levitated for 20 years and haven't eaten food, just taking in
the sun rays energy.
It's like, no, I sure haven't. I kind of questioned that at first. And I've gone into ceremonies asking that, like way earlier on before facilitation, this was a couple years ago. Hey, I'm starting to kind of take on this facilitator role and I'm uncomfortable with this because what makes me qualified to do this work?
Yeah.
Well, I have seen in ceremony, my own personal ceremonies, that I do this every lifetime. Like, my training comes from lifetime after lifetime after lifetime after lifetime of doing this work. And it looks different ways, shapes, forms. I'm not a healer. I'm not healing anyone. I'm healing myself if I'm doing my own personal work. If I am facilitating, I am creating a container for you to heal yourself. So when we do our group ceremonies, the biggest thing that I'm trying to do is be a clear and clean vessel for spirit to work through me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know actually what you need. Spirit does, your higher self does. So I have to be in a space where, you know, what we like to do is try to stir up the energy, you know, play music, play instruments, kind of get things shaken up a bit. And then we can always tell people are like tossy, turny, sitting up, wanting to go to the bath. Or like, we can tell when people aren't settled. And that's when we know things are kind of, it's time to start trying to work with people to pull things out. And and then, like, it's quite honestly, it's magical what happens from there. It's like I kind of take a step back a little bit in the back seat and open my big mouth and things happen. Like I get a sense of who I might need to go work with, and we start talking. What are you, what's going on with you? What are you feeling? Like, and we've already had a sense of working with people, like talking to people, knowing like what things that they might have going on.
Right. That's what you do with your intake call.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely. And sometimes those same things come up. A lot of times different things come up. But really it's about pulling energy through, getting somebody to talk. Express, like just getting them to talk about things to allow some kind of expression to happen. And sometimes it's just talking, and then other times that can lead to crying, that can lead to screaming, that can, like, who knows what that can lead to. But that's like the purge that I feel like the role that I'm trying to move energy through somebody to try to make happen. And that comes in all kinds of ways. You know, I can just be talking to somebody. I can be doing activations, I can be doing light language, I can be doing singing. It can happen all different kinds of ways. But the biggest thing is for, you know, I want people to walk away with feeling like they can take action, you know, like they can kind of take something with their lives that they feel like they didn't have control over before and move forward. And it's like at the end of ceremony, my biggest hope is that somebody feels empowered, that they're not in this victim state anymore.
Yeah.
And that they can take action differently. They can have different awarenesses and then continue to change that story for that story into a truth. Yeah. So it might not even necessarily be an action, like, oh, I need to go walk every day. And that's not what I'm talking about. And so it's more like I'm not a victim of my circumstances. All these things that I feel stuck with in life, I'm not stuck. And in fact, I'm creating a reality that I think I am. So guess what? I've created that reality that I think I'm stuck. I got to get myself into a different reality where I'm free and abundant and full of joy and passion and purpose.
Yeah.
You know, one of the biggest things that people say is that I don't have passion. I don't have purpose. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. And they're seeking, 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 seeking. Well, they got to go inside.
Yeah.
It's those answers are all in our hearts. But if we're blocked from our hearts, and we get into the thinking mind, the mental mind, that my answers are up here, like my happiness, my joy, I'm going to think my way into happiness and joy, it's not ever going to happen.
Right.
So at the minimum, I'm hoping that people have a heart activation of getting back into the heart.
Yeah.
Or at least trying to get some layers off of the heart that are blocking the heart. Because all our answers are in our heart. They're in our heart. It's right there. It's right there. But, you know, you can't tell people that. My hope is that they at least have an experience of that. So it's and then it's like repeat. There's so much more after that. You know, the other thing that I want to say with ceremonies, you know, this is not a I think miracles can happen in ceremony.
Yeah,
absolutely. Mm-hmm. Have I ever seen anybody who's had profound transformation to do and go into one plant medicine ceremony and walk away healed? No.
Right.
I haven't.
Sure.
It's a process. I talk about it being like an onion. There's layers upon layers upon layers upon layers. And the biggest thing that I see people get stuck on doing is thinking that plant medicine is going to be like that quick fix miracle pill for them. They're going to go from plant medicine ceremony, or and then switch entheogens, you know, try a different one, because they're trying to get fixed.
Mm-hmm.
You got to work with it. You got to understand what's coming up for you.
Yeah.
You've got to make changes in your life, sustained changes in your life, change bad habits, have a community. Community is huge. We think we're healing in a vacuum, like we heal by ourselves. We don't. We see, you know, I can't tell you how, you know, especially this last year with people having to literally go inside. Well, there's a reason for that.
Oh, yeah. It was beautiful.
Go inside your heart.
Yeah. Go inside, actually.
But then they don't know how to do that. And then they think that, you know, it's, again, they got to search and find. And it's not that. And, you know, allowing community to help you with that, building community, going to integration meetings, you know, going into each ceremony with thought and purpose and intention. Like, why are you going into this one? What are you trying to work on? What is the result in your life you are trying to attain?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are you really trying to do? And then what information, what feedback, what awareness are you getting in ceremony? And then how are you taking that and applying that differently to your life?
Right. Yeah.
Then once you've worked through that, then maybe go to another plant medicine ceremony. Like, allow that process to inform.
Mm.
The biggest compliment we can get with two pillars is that somebody comes to our ceremonies maybe a few times and is like, I'm done with plant medicine. I don't need it anymore. I got everything that I needed.
Mm.
And it warms my heart.
Yeah.
It's like, because it's a tool. It's always a tool. It's never a fix. Nobody should ever think that they have to take plant medicine for the rest of their life. That's no better than an antidepressant or any other pharmaceutical.
Mm-hmm.
No better. Like, use it as a tool to help unlock those things that you can't see on your own. You can't feel on your own. Allow it to do that. And then be happy, joyous, and free.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's beautiful to use the medicine, but see, I often, a lot of the times, like, I will feel those ways. Like, I will take breaks from any plant medicine if I start feeling like any kind of crutch,
mm-hmm.
because of my addictive behaviors that I had in the past. I will always sit and check myself and, mm-hmm. okay, is this happening? No, these are just thoughts that go through my head. I'm fine and I can work through it. But yeah, I think a lot of the times, I think using plant medicine is a very big tool in this lifetime right now, in the now, like, to help open people, because a lot of people don't know how to sit and do that kind of work without judgment. And I think that's plant medicine really for me has given me the no judgment when I look at situations that I need to work on.
Yeah, and that takes practice. That takes so much practice. So if you're somebody starting off brand new, maybe you go and get your own entheogen and use it, and you feel like you've had a bad experience or difficult experience, and you like that's what I feel like people are trying to do. They're trying to use it on their own for those transformational experiences. And I think that you can. I mean, I started there. I mean, I was using it on my own. It's difficult to do on your own because if you can't see past the gold, the gold nugget that's underneath all the crap, like it's there, but you got to get those layers off, and it might be very uncomfortable and difficult to do. So knowing how to work with the medicine,
mm-hmm.
So working with other people that can help you with that, and just having those awarenesses, knowing if you're using it, how you're using it, why you're using it. That's the number one thing. If, like, you use it with intention, you're going to know very quickly,
mm-hmm.
You're using it as a crutch or not.
Yeah, exactly. So that I have to stop and check myself sometimes, because it's like, what is the purpose in this right now, in this moment?
Yeah.
So a lot of the times I've stopped myself and done that just to see, okay, am I doing the right things? Am I feeling the right way?
You know? And I see people get a little bit more hung up on that with microdosing,
mm-hmm.
versus the macrodosing. Like,
yeah.
Like, at least with our two-pillar ceremonies, as I mentioned, like, they're deep dive, typically difficult work. Like, you know why you're going into them.
Yeah.
And But it still can happen where somebody might kind of continue to come without a strong intention and they don't get the results. And we're just like, hey, stop coming back. Mm-hmm. But where I see people, where I think it's just a little bit harder to pinpoint and nail down, are you using with intention or not, is with the microdosing, because it's a much lighter, softer experience. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people will just, again, start taking it like they're taking a pill. They'll just like be like, okay, I want to feel energized or bright and light, or want to like see the world in different colors today, or whatever. And so they start taking it. Mm-hmm. Like for, and I'm not saying that that's necessarily a bad thing, but again, like, are you using that because you feel like you have to do that to find connection, to find some happiness, to yeah. find some purpose? Or are you doing that as a tool to help you find those things?
Yeah.
So is it a tool where, oh my gosh, that tree looks beautiful and wonderful and oh, I feel connected to it. And then the next morning you don't microdose and you go out and hug the tree. You know, that was a, you use that as a tool to connect with that tree versus,
yeah.
you know, trying to find beauty in something that you're not going to be able to see otherwise.
Yeah, if you don't take something.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, kind of wrapping up everything, would you please just let all the listeners know how they can get in contact with you, Tiffany, through Two Pillars?
Sure thing. So we have a website, and it's twopillarsfoundation.org. That's probably the best way that if you wanted to contact us, you can send us an email through there. We're also on Facebook, Two Pillars Foundation, as well as Instagram. You can message us that way. And, you know, we have a variety of different services. Not only do we do, we talk, you know, primarily in this podcast about our sacred entheogen ceremonies. However, we do other things too. And again, I think it's not one thing that you do. It's never one thing you do. It's, right. It's a multitude of things to try out. And, so other things that we do, we also do Cambo, also known as Sapo. We do sessions, for people with that. That's frog medicine. That is, non-consciousness altering, but it's a amazing detoxification medicine.
It's one of my favorite medicines. Yeah, I would yeah. like to do Cambo at least like once or twice a month.
Yeah, and some people do as whether or not you're actively working on something very intentional that you're knowing that you're needing to clear, or as maintenance. It's a beautiful medicine with that. It's a difficult medicine. It's a purgative. But man, I see so many people have great results with Cambo and Sapo. So we do those sessions. We also have cacao ceremonies. And the other thing that, as well as the integration meetings we talked about, and I'm brushing over cacao. Cacao is amazing. Cacao yeah. is a huge heart opening tool. When somebody actually isn't quite ready for plant medicine, but they are ready, because maybe they have fears around it, but they're ready to open up their heart some. Mm-hmm. Cacao, ceremonial grade cacao specifically, is a medicine that I recommend. Of course, that's the basis from what cocoa is made from. But we're not talking about hot chocolate here. We're talking about an amazing heart-opening tool. Mm. So it's a great way to start to get in touch with emotions if you are, again, using it with intention. A lot of times also people use it to get off coffee.
Yeah,
you know, not
try that.
Yeah, it doesn't have caffeine in it, but it has something called theobromine in it, which is energetic. So it's not jittery like caffeine, but it's very uplifting at the yeah. same time. So anyway, we do cacao ceremonies. We think that that medicine is amazing. And then the other thing that I wanted to mention that we've just launched is a microdose coaching service. So whereas we've talked about with the macrodosing, the deep dive ceremony, you know, we find such a huge benefit with people microdose as well. So with microdosing, I'm talking about taking just a very small amount of medicine, maybe a couple times a week, again with an intention. And I have seen wonderful results personally with doing that. Like, I can have just as amazing insight with microdosing with intention as I do with doing a deep dive without all the intensity.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, it's again, the medicine's going to take you where you need to go.
You
with
need
it.
To go, right?
So a lot of times people use microdosing specifically with psilocybin for creativity, flow states, focus, that kind of thing. But I can tell you, when I microdose for that intention, but if I got a heart block, I've got something emotionally that's blocking me from getting to that flow state, that universal flow state, to allow those things to happen, I've got to have the time and space to go, okay, medicine's trying to show me something else. I'm starting to feel emotional here. I'm kind of down. I'm kind of grumpy. I'm feeling lousy. Like, that's my cue. When I wasn't feeling that before and then I took the microdose, that's my cue to, okay, I got to get out of front of my computer. Nothing's going to happen productive here. Nothing's going to flow until I allow the medicine to work with me. And sure enough, I'll have like a boo-hoo session about, you know, something emotional that's going on or whatever. But anyway, people don't always know how to work with microdosing.
Right.
So what Two Pillars has created is a service where we basically have sessions with you where you microdose and we actually kind of step through with you, walk through with you, having insights and awarenesses and things come up based on intentions that you've set. So it's a coaching service and it's very fluid.
Yeah.
But we come up with kind of goals and intentions with you, and we work with you each week for a period of weeks to help bring out those things that maybe otherwise you might not look at. Because the microdosing again can be so soft, and you can might have a tendency to look away from those things when you really need to look towards them. We help you look towards them. We help you look into them to get that the goals that you're trying to accomplish in life. So anyway, those are a couple of our other services, and again, all that information's out on our website, twopillarsfoundation.org.
Awesome. And so we have Campbell, I want to talk about again because it's my favorite. Mm-hmm. When do you have another one of those ceremonies? Do you have another one of just a Campo ceremony coming up in May?
So right now, we will do Campo ceremonies the same day that we do our sacred entheogen ceremony in the evening. So okay. Yes, so that the next one coming up is it's Saturday, May 22nd, I believe.
Okay. And that's through the website also, correct?
Yes, you can find. So yes, we have an events page on our website that has everything. It has the conference, it has our integration meetings, our Campo sessions, our sacred ceremony sessions, our cacao ceremony. Yeah.
And do you have a meetup also, or no, you don't do meetup?
We do not have a meetup.
You don't have a meetup? No. Okay. Okay, so what you've listed is just the ways to get a hold of you.
Yes.
Perfect.
Yep.
Well, to wrap it up, I just like to tell you how honored I am to be sitting here with you. And thank you so much for all of the hard work you've helped me do. I really appreciate all the time and effort you've put into helping me.
You are so welcome. It's such an honor. Every single time I work with other people, I am very clear that I'm working with myself as well.
Yeah.
It's like it always gets reflected back to me. There's growth for everybody. There's growth in the entire consciousness. So it is absolute my honor, and I get so many blessings out of it. And thank you for being you and being a bright light and sharing all this information into the consciousness. It's so needed. So thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. That's my plan, is to help seed the minds. So. I can do my part.
Awesome. You're doing it.
All right. Well, thank you so much, and I love you.
I love you, too.
Bye.
Oh, my goodness. Did you not have just like a fucking blast? And I know the wind, guys. I'm fucking sorry. I know better now. I know that when my higher self or my intuition, the both equals one, when they be saying, hey, pay attention. You're sweating really bad. And every time that wind hit, it feels like magic. You should probably check that wind because it's trying to tell you something. And it was. It was trying to tell me to adjust the sitting. It told me to adjust the sound. But you know what your girl did? She sat and enjoyed the show. So I'm glad you guys made it through. If you made it through all the way to the end to this, thank you guys. It means the fucking world to me. You have no earthly idea. Maybe you have an astral idea, but I don't know. Either way, You guys mean so much to me, and I'm grateful for every time you come and hang out and listen. I'm grateful. I hope you guys have a wonderful, kick-ass, motherfucking day.